one of the interesting things we've seen as this case has gone on is that actually very few cities have elected to follow down Hazleton's path. And I think one reason is they've seen that Hazleton's law itself and all the other laws that have tried to copy Hazleton's approach have basically, with few exceptions, been blocked by the courts because they're unconstitutional. And also that the effects on the ground of laws like Hazleton's have been really negative. And so what we see is, on the state level, a similar effect, which is that a couple years after Hazleton did its thing, the state of Arizona started taking a similar approach, trying to do its own immigration regulations and its own immigration enforcement. And that approach also has been largely rejected by the Supreme Court and rejected by other states around the country because it's both bad law and bad policy.
I found it striking that the city of Hazleton has pursued this so doggedly, considering that so many municipalities are in such dire straits economically. How much has the city spent defending this law?
You know, I actually don't have that precise figure, but I do know that it has been an expensive fight, both for Hazleton and for other cities. One of the few other cities that have tried to do a similar thing, the city of Farmers Branch, Texas, has spent millions of dollars already trying to defend that law. Hazleton's in a tough financial situation, as a lot of other cities are around the country. And so it is striking. And I think part of what's going on here is that there were some political interests which didn't really relate at all to what the city needed that kind of hijacked this whole process. And so you've had this city spending 6 years of time and resources to try to enact something that's never gone into effect because it's been continuously rejected by the courts. And that really is heading the city in precisely the wrong direction. At this point, the population of Hazleton is over 40% Latino. And as Joe Madden, the baseball manager who's a native of Hazleton, has pointed out, what the city really needs is a way to bring the whole city together rather than ways to divide the population, try to scapegoat new immigrants, and set them apart from the population as a whole.
What are the specific aspects of the Hazleton statute that the court found unconstitutional?
The main aspect of the Hazleton ordinance that's problematic in a constitutional sense is the fact that the city is trying to determine who can live in the city, who can rent housing in the city based on immigration status. And so in order to get a rental permit in Hazleton, if this law went into effect, you would have to prove that you were lawfully present in the United States, and if anyone complained about any tenant, not just the person on the lease, but any resident of any rental apartment in Hazleton, the landlord would be subject to penalties, and the tenant or the residents would be subject to eviction and penalties of their own. And so you have this system that's really designed to create a separate immigration enforcement regime and separate immigration rules for the city of Hazleton that don't come into play anywhere else in the country. And the district court, after a trial in Pennsylvania, found this unconstitutional. The federal appeals court affirmed that decision. And the Supreme Court, in the most recent Arizona case, although the Arizona law worked differently, I think set out a lot of principles that explain that the Third Circuit got it right the last time around. So I think that aspect of the Hazleton law is pretty clearly doomed going forward. And I hope that at some point we're going to get some finality and the city is actually going to accept the truth, which is that they can't do what they've been trying to do with those rental regulations.
Well, you were back in the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. Has the city come up with any new arguments as to why they believe that this law should go into effect?
On the rental provisions, not really. They've dressed some of their old arguments up in new clothes, but for the most part, I don't think they pointed to anything in the new Supreme Court cases that really strengthens their case. And to the contrary, as we pointed out, I think the most recent, the 2012 Arizona case, the one that came down in late June, really strengthens our hand, really demonstrates that they can't do what they were trying to do. There's also an employment-related component to the Hazleton laws, which, to be fair, does require some reexamination after the 2011 Arizona decision. And so I think what the court's really going to be struggling with is exactly to what extent the 2011 Arizona decision should be read as an authorization for a city like Hazleton to adopt a separate kind of employment regulation system relating to immigration. But on the housing part of it, the rental regulations, these regulations of presence, I think there's really nothing that Hazleton can point to that will save their statute.
Did they initially find the employment provisions unconstitutional as well?
That's right. And our view is that the employment provisions are still unconstitutional even after the 2011 Arizona decision. But I think we agree that because the 2011 Arizona decision addressed a law that had some similarities to the Hazleton employment provisions, that the court is going to have to go back and relook at their reasoning and explain why the Hazleton law still can't go forward, even though the Arizona employment law could.